I think I kind of bonded with that mollusk, and so I feel a little guilty admitting this. Last night, I stopped off at a market near my house to buy some seafood for dinner, shrimp to be exact. And behind the glass were six types of shrimp on ice. USA, wild-caught, medium, Indonesian, previously frozen, large. You get the picture. But how do you know any of this is for sure? My next guest, Paul Greenberg, has a new documentary on Frontline, tracing where our fish comes from. In this scene, he's at a fish convention here in Boston. He's talking to a woman with a fish processing company in China, and she says her fish is actually caught here in the USA, and then it goes through this process.
It comes to you frozen, right?
Yes, yes.
And then you defrost it?
Yes.
And you cut it up and do
yes,
everything?
Yes.
And then you freeze it again?
Yes.
And then you send it back?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Correct.
Wow. Paul Greenberg, tell me this is exceptional.
I wish it was, but in fact, a very large amount, particularly of our wild salmon, gets caught here in the U.S., frozen, sent to China, defrosted, boned, repackaged, refrozen, and sent to us twice frozen.
Can I just say that sounds really stupid? What's the rationale behind this?
A lot of it is labor. Chinese labor up until recently was significantly cheaper than paying for that kind of really detailed hand processing that's necessary for this kind of fish processing. And, you know, to some degree, it makes some kind of vague economic sense. Mm. But if we really want to overcome what I think is a huge seafood deficit in this country, we need to take care of our own fish.
So you've embarked on a year-long project all around fish as a food source, and we'll get into what you're doing in a moment. But we should start by saying that you're not just a writer who became fascinated by fish at some point in your life. You're also a fisherman. How long has this been a part of your life?
It really began kind of as a divorced dad project. My dad first took me fishing when I was three, and he didn't know how to fish, but he sort of had it in his mind that this is what you should do with your son. So we sort of stumbled into figuring out fishing together, and I eventually became more of the expert.
Now, one part of your project is actually eating fish, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 1 year. Why?
Yep. Well, you know, we think of seafood as the healthy food, and I kind of wanted to push that to the limit and see, well, if it truly is the healthy food, if I made it the centerpiece of my diet, maybe it would make me a healthier person. And the other issue in all this is, of course, I was in the middle of writing a book called The Omega Principle, which will come out in July of 2018, and I kind of got photobombed by Frontline. I was at a conference in Boston, and David Fanning, who's a huge fisherman, came up to me, started talking to me about all sorts of things. I didn't even know who he was.
Fanning was the executive producer of Frontline.
Exactly. He created Frontline, and he was like, you know, I've always wanted to do a fish film. The film doesn't totally cover my Omega journey. More of that is in the book. But it's a nice spine around which you can build an interesting investigation of the ocean.
Well, let's talk about the documentary a little bit.
Yeah.
This journey around the world in search of where our fish comes from. You started in Peru.
We went there simply because it is the largest fishery in the world.
Wow.
Most people don't know it exists. But some years in Peru, they catch more of this one fish, the Peruvian anchoveta, than all other fish that we catch in U.S. water.
The anchoveta, what is that?
It's basically an anchovy. You could put it on a pizza. But 99% of it gets ground up into fish meal, boiled down to oil, and then put into aqua feed for feeding mostly farm salmon.
So then you go and check out the farm salmon. Is that being eaten by humans or is that going to something else as well?
Well, no, the farm salmon we were definitely eating. Now salmon is the most popular fish in the United States. We went there to look at really the birthplace of what's called aquaculture, fish farming. Norway is really the intellectual engine of all of that. And we went up and down the fjords finding people who were huge advocates of farm salmon. And then we found people who were very much opposed to it.
Yeah. I mean, the debate is whether, you know, aquaculture, fish farming is a sustainable solution to overfishing in the oceans or whether it's bad for the environment. Did you settle on a conclusion?
Well, I believe in the end that aquaculture is good for the future of the planet, but we have to figure out how to create a net gain in marine protein. So if we're grinding up anchoveta and feeding it to salmon and we're using more anchoveta to get a pound of salmon out than we're putting in, that is not a net gain. So I would like to see us get wild fish out of fish feed. If we achieve that and we bust through and salmon becomes a net producer of marine protein for the world, I think it's a win-win-win.
You know, I worked on a fish farm once and we were actually feeding some of the fish pig urine. You know, I'm just wondering if you encountered that anywhere.
Marco, I have to say you're the first radio host I've ever met who said that they'd worked on a fish farm. I have to interview you. Where was that?
I was in Burgundy in France. Most of the fish being raised there were actually for fertilizer.
Well, that would explain the pig pee then, I guess.
As for your breakfast, lunch, dinner, fish diet, I know a lot of people say, yeah, lunch, dinner, I get that. Breakfast, did you turn to the Japanese for some recipes?
No, I turned to the omelet. I really embraced the omelet because the omelet is basically an overcoat for food.
Exactly.
It all worked out pretty well.
Paul Greenberg has a new documentary for Frontline called The Fish on My Plate. It airs tonight. Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Marco.